Morning, church. How are you all? On this prestigious long weekend in Melbourne. And it's good to be here at One Turner with you this morning. And Yoshi asked me months and months and months ago. Anyway, the calendar gets very full in our department. We're working on stuff for 2021 now, even at the moment. So if you're going to execute well, you've got to plan well. And that's what we've been doing. At the moment, we're working on next year's calendar. We're trying to dovetail that together with all the other departments and everything else that gets piled in on us, and also what we want to do and achieve. But first, I thought I'd share a few things with you from around the conference and what's been happening in the, particularly our youth department at Vic Youth. That's our new youth director, or my new assistant, Rose Andrikanis. How many of you know her, Rose? That's the lady on your left. Rose, that's her, and her other sister, Hannah, is beside her. That's a recent photo from their recent expedition to Switzerland and Norway. Hannah's in working in Ireland at the moment, in Dublin, as a student missionary doing a 1 year in mission. So Rose and Hannah joined together about a month or so ago, and went over there. It's good to have a female in the department again, because to help with our gender balance. And Rose, because she's an outdoorsy girl anyway, loves a lot of the stuff we do in the youth department. And she's been a great asset since the beginning of this year. Our Vic Youth calendar. Look, if you want information on our youth department and you're not getting it, put that email address in and send us an email, and we'll put you on our newsletter. Our newsletter, I think, came out this week again, which gives a projected program for the next 12 months, 18 months, actually. My Edge magazine. Oh, yes. Who in the youth reads My Edge magazine? It's all online now, but you can contribute now as a young person and get paid for it, so which is even better. So go online to our Vic Youth Facebook page, or online to My Edge Mag, and you can contribute there and read some good stuff being put up by our young people right across Australia. The Mission Collective is on this weekend, actually, in Melbourne, which is a gathering of young adults, young professionals, and just looking at the mission of the church and how they can contribute to that. So if you haven't been across that, that's this weekend. You're probably not too late to try and attend for part of it anyway. One of our big events for the year is, of course, our youth rally, annual youth rally. And our youth, we're looking forward to that because, well, we didn't have big camp this year. So that's coming up in only a couple of weeks' time. And Dr. Carl DeWall, who's the head of seminary at Avondale, he'll be down here to be our keynote speaker. But he's also taking a session on Sabbath afternoon for those who are interested in exploring what ministry looks like and perhaps heading down that avenue as well. For our younger children, our 4 to 9-year-olds, we have our Adventure Family Rally Day. This is for our adventurers, but it's also for families of adventure-age children. So you can come and enjoy that Sabbath morning with us. Our theme is Glow with God, which I think we'll be able to do some lots of creative things around that for our children and point them towards Jesus. Of course, Pathfinders, we mentioned that a bit earlier. We have our Fair Day Rally Day coming up in November as well. World Changes Bible, we have a new edition. Here, right here, I grabbed the copy this morning on the way here of the World Changes Bible with a whole heap of other new resources in there. And but this time around, we've got a Bible reading guide as well to go along with it. So a whole lot of studies and themes in there. If you want something for a small group or a life group or a cell group, this is a great little resource to grab off us. Of course, the goal with this Bible is find someone to you can point towards Jesus and take some studies with them and give them one of these special Bibles. It's in the New Living Translation, so it's very readable for our younger generations. In the front of it, there's a whole heap of resources: how to give a Bible study, how to lead a small group, how to even start a church plant. And there's different themes in there and resources as well. So that's a great little resource to look at and consider. And of course, there's more resources online as well. You can go to that link there for some other online resources. Summer camps. Paul mentioned summer camps earlier on. And we run 3 summer camps for almost the entire of January. And that's probably our biggest and busiest time of the year. And some great ministry happens there across all levels for the young campers who come, for our staff, and developing them as leaders, but also our speakers as well. They're impacted in a powerful way often by the ministry of summer camps. And I know Paul talked about one young man we've been ministering to. We had an incredible breakthrough and victory last summer camps for him. Every camp he'd come to prior to our camp, he hadn't lasted more than 2 days. But we had a battle on our hands and we knew it. And that boy lasted the entire camp. Did we go through some pain? Yes, we did. Did our campers go through some pain and our staff? Yes, they did. But we won the victory. And that boy is a changed boy. And he's continuing to change. So don't forget summer camps and what it can do for our young people. In fact, we have almost 30% of attendees who are from non-Adventist, non-Christian homes. So that's a great mission field in itself. Converge for our young adults, February 8 to 10, 2020. We had the biggest contingent from any state go to Converge last year from Victoria. Almost 70 young people. And this is a great ministry for them to be able to connect with other young people right across Australia and the beautiful setting of our North New South Wales Convention Centre at Stewart's Point there. For our young people, this is also for our church. Global Youth Day, the third Sabbath in March 2020. And the theme next year is I Care. And I think it's very topical and very appropriate. This is our theme for next year. It's about focusing on the refugees, the homeless, and the strangers. And it's a bit of a hot topic in our country, as you appreciate, and even globally, in fact, what's been going on in the US and other countries. And it's something we, as a church community, can start really being very intentional around. Big Camp is back. Church. For those who missed it this year, it's on. We have our speakers sorted. We had our speakers sorted probably 3 months ago, so keep that in mind. And applications, I believe, will be out, what's it, September? End of October. End of November, I think it is. I better not put too much pressure on our office staff. But yeah, I think it's the end of November. The Big Camp applications will be out for next year. In fact, we've already got our speaker sorted for 2021. For the youth department, so we're trying to stay ahead of the game there, and we've got a couple of excellent speakers. For those who want to know, our speaker for next year is Tatiana Nixon. She was our speaker for Converge this year, and she really had a solid message. And I know the young people who come, or even the adults who come next year to Big Camp, are going to be rewarded by her ministry to us. This has been sprung on us by the division, and I think it's very worthwhile. The World Changes Bible and Leadership School, in conjunction with this World Changes Bible If you want to learn how to develop your relationship with Christ, if you want to learn how to give a Bible study and even to be able to really study the Bible well, this conference is coming up next year. We are looking at helping with some sponsorship. It's going to be at in Sydney at Crosslands Camp. It's a 10-day camp in June 26th to July 5 next year. So that's something to look forward to. And church, don't forget about your young teens, your teenagers, the 14 to 16-year-olds. We have Chosen coming up again next year. This is a great leadership development program that's been running for 10 or 12 years now, right across our Australian Union. And that's something to keep in mind as we flag our young people who we can think about sending to this leadership program. So, Juan Turner, think about your young people here and your teens who you can consider sending to that next year. Unfortunately for Victoria, we only have, I think, 9 spots. We usually have about 30 applications. So that's a hard decision for us to have to come to in deciding who we send. But it does make a difference. It's made a powerful difference over the years for those. Who's gone from here to Chosen? A number of you. Excellent. Now, of course, for our young adults, 2021 Youth Congress is on in Tui Ridge in New Zealand for our South Pacific division. So keep that in mind and put that date in your calendar as well. So there's some just some happenings that's happening across our youth department. And as I said, there's never a dull moment in youth ministry across all the ages that we minister to and for, and how we can best do that in serving the church and the kingdom and for the growing of our and proclamation of the gospel. Okay, on to our message for today. And this really parallels our lesson study this quarter. I've really valued what's been shared and communicated in our lessons this quarter. How that the heart of ministry is really out there serving people, ministering to people, ministering to felt needs and very apparent needs, and making a difference in people's lives, but more so for eternity. And I guess that's essentially what my message is today. And did you note the title of my message for those who saw it on Facebook or other social media? You're asking me to be a missionary? And the answer up front today is yes, I am. I'm asking you to be a missionary. Let me start with a story. It was November last year, and a news item caught my attention. It was saying a tourist killed in the North Sentinelese Islands in the north of the Indian Ocean. I go, really? How did that happen? How could a tourist be killed by locals in a tourist spot? Why would that happen? How could that happen? What was the background? What was the story behind this? It grabbed my attention at the time, I remember. But the interesting thing was this. A couple of weeks later, it got my attention even more. Because by that point, the news had hit the world. This person wasn't a tourist, they were a missionary. John Chow was his name, 27-year-old young man. He'd made his life mission, his life calling, to go to a remote people group in the world and take the story of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, to them. And he'd chosen this tribal group, this remote island in the north of the Indian Ocean, to has his objective and his purpose. And so in November last year, he did just that. The first day he landed on shore, he was met with quite a deal of negative reception, if I can put it lightly. In fact, the arrows were flying at him. And so he retreated to the boat and offshore again. But John wasn't going to give up. He was determined to take the gospel to this people group. So a couple of days later, he landed on shore again. And again, he was met with the same response. But this time, the arrows caught him, took him out, and he was killed. When that story hit the world news, it went like wildfire. And most of the news wasn't good news. It was all negative. How could this guy be so arrogant? How could he be so determined to go to another people group and invade their culture, their lifestyle, and do this? It prompted a missions backlash, in fact. His story just stirred the emotions of people right around the world, as I said. One of the most memorable stories was put up by a columnist in the Independent newspaper in the UK. Her name was Janet Street Porter, and she had this to say. She said this was an act of cultural imperialism and insane arrogance. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? And she went on to say this: his behavior was the worst advertisement for Christianity you could imagine. How do you feel here, sitting here as a Christian, a believer, and hearing that? Someone else said about Chow that he was an obsessed fanatic, a would-be colonizer, and an agent of cultural imperialism. The negatives kept flying. But I read some of the backstory of John. He was a dedicated Christian. He was in love with Jesus. He might have done a few things that were probably a little unwise. First of all, going in there single-handedly, because the Bible does tell us to go two by two as missionaries, as ones are sharing the gospel. But no, for some reason, John felt that he had to go by himself to this people group, probably knowing that he was going to even risk his life in doing this. Yes, church, I will admit, we have made mistakes over the millennia, over centuries, and we still continue to make mistakes in how we evangelize and proselytize people. Sometimes we don't always do it with the right motives or the right care or in the right way. But God still calls us to share our faith, bring a message of hope. And for me personally, I am more passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus than ever because of what he's done in my life. Who remembers that missionary song in Sabbath school when you were a little tot? Missionary, missionary, goodbye. Did anyone sing that as a kid? Surely someone here would have sung that. No one? Oh, one hand, two hands, a couple of hands. I remember that you'd have a little boat there or something else and you'd hop in the boat and they'd sing the song, missionary, missionary, goodbye, goodbye. And then sing it round and round and round and round. It was inculcated in us as kids to focus on, yes, our calling is to be a missionary, whatever form that takes, whatever that looks like. But somehow, things have gone a little wry in our world. Some ideologies are taken into countries and not even blinked at. But Christianity seems to come with some baggage. A few months ago, we received a report from the US, from the Barna organization. And David Kinnaman heads up the Barna organization, a great guy. And this report quite startled me, in fact. A couple of headline statements were like this. It said, nearly half of millennials who are practicing Christians say it is wrong to evangelize. Now, millennials are those generally born between 95 and 2010-2015. So, you know, someone who's perhaps in their early 20s, late teens. Nearly half of practicing millennials, it said, say it is wrong to evangelize. 47%, in fact, put a number on it. And that's even more than non-Christians because they percented out at 20%. Or lapsed Christians, 17%. But millennials, 47% say it's wrong to evangelize. And I ask the question, church, how did we get it so wrong? And I'm looking at my generation in when I say this. How did we get it so wrong? But here's the paradox. Here's the paradox. At the same time, 2 out of 3 millennials, 65%, believe that being a witness about Jesus is part of their faith. Get that? That blows me away. They say evangelism is wrong, but then 2/3 of them say witnessing about Jesus is part of their faith. And they strongly agree on that. Let me share you another quote. The church needs young blood in its veins. And I say, yes, we do. Our strength for holding the faith may lie in experienced saints, but our zeal for propagating it must be found in the young. That's why, church, we devote so much to children's ministry, young people's ministry, pathfinders, youth congresses. I praise God for what our church does for its young people. And I ask the question of you here at One Turner, how much are you doing for your young people here, One Turner? How intentional are you being in propagating the message through discipling our young people for ministry and mission? Now, the interesting thing is this quote didn't come from someone this year or this century or last century. This quote came from the century before. Charles Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, if you want his full name, from over 150 years ago, said this. The church needs young blood in its veins. He said it back then. We need this even more so now. The church needs young blood in its veins. When we see approximately 50% of our young people lose faith in our church, they don't lose faith necessarily, but they lose faith in our church, in the church system. When they walk away from faith, what are we left with? Like you come to our key text today, which is Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. But I won't be reading from this one because it's got very small print. Romans chapter 10 and verses 14 and 15. And it says this, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, 'How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news.'" Paul's got some great questions here. How can they call on him if they've never believed? Who's going to tell them? And how can they hear unless someone tells them, etc., etc.? Some great questions, which comes back right to us here this morning. Because the context of this, and we go back to verse 13 actually, the context of this is a statement that Paul makes in verse 13. He says here, "For anyone calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So if people are going to call on the name of the Lord and they haven't heard about him, how can that happen? Paul's saying. So the question comes down to you and I today. Who is going to tell them? When are we going to tell them? How are we going to tell them? What are we going to tell them? Are you going to tell them your story? Your faith journey? Your faith experience? What are you going to tell them? And Paul is very open, very forthright there. And I thank him for that because it speaks to my heart. Am I doing youth ministry in a way that's connecting with these young people? That it's engaging them? Is the message clear? Has it got clarity? Has it got meaning? Has it got purpose for this generation? So church, what does it mean to be a missionary? What does it mean to be a missionary? Let me give you 3 points. Three key steps in being a missionary. Number one, learn their language. Learn their language. Number two, understand their culture. Understand their culture. And number three, then build bridges. Got it? Number one, learn their language. Understand their culture, then build bridges. Now, if I take someone like Max here this morning. Now, Max, how old are you, Max? 7. You probably just fit into that Gen Z culture. If you go up to 2015. But you go back to my culture, baby boomer. Any baby builders here? I don't want to show you, right? Oh, there are a couple of baby builders. Look at all the generations and cultures in between. Max, you've got a device there, I see. Now, I'm not putting that because it's wrong, because I know this generation. Where my generation, we didn't come up with a device, but with Max, he's almost born with it in his hand. Is that right, Nick? Where you've got all these cultures and language, even within our church culture, that we've got to build bridges, learn their language, understand their culture, and build bridges even across the generations. So being a missionary even applies to being in church as well and reaching across the generations and the culture. Because if you take that quote of Spurgeon's there, it's only as we take the strength of those who are mature in the faith combined with the zeal of our young people will we see the proclamation of the message go forward. As Spurgeon says, propagating the message. But unfortunately, in our Western culture, the Christian church has shrunk and has continued to shrink. And I go back to the scripture of Paul. How are people going to know if we aren't discipling our young people and others? How are they people going to know who even Jesus is and what his message is for us? That's why I have loved this quarter's lessons in going back to the basics of what Christian faith and Christian living and discipling is all about. Let me tell you about a young lady, Jaquel Crowe. She's now Jaquel Ferris. She's a young Canadian, born in the West in Vancouver, now lives in the East of Canada, in East Canada. And I call her a little tiger, but she's a good tiger. And Janelle, when she was just a teenager, wrote a book, a great book. She was only 19 when she wrote this book. And the title of the book is this: This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. And she goes on to say this in the book: the teen years have been hijacked by fashion, movies, music, and games, by the pressures of school, peers, and society, and by the superficial expectations set by the world. But there is something more glorious than all these influences that has the power to change the life of a teenager. And what's that she says? The gospel. The gospel, pure and simple. What has that power to change the life of a teenager? The gospel. Recently, she wrote for a website called the Gospel Coalition. And she was writing on the purpose of mission and how it applies to the Gen Z, the millennials. And she says this: Gen Z has a problem. And the problem is essentially this. For many young Christians, she believes their focus has drifted dangerously away from gospel-centered to humanitarian-centered. Social justice has become our God, she says, of her generation. And I see it as a youth director. The dominant and defining belief of Generation Z is about the social gospel and social justice. And we probably saw this exhibited just Friday, a week ago, with the global climate strike. How many young people were involved in that? But she goes on to say this: the fundamental problem is that we've created a false dichotomy. When you pit justice and the gospel against each other, you miss the point of the Bible and devalue God's heart for both. You devalue God's heart for both justice and the gospel. Jaquel is a very sharp thinker and a writer, and I value a lot of what she says. And I'm glad she's a voice for this generation, because she can articulate well how this generation expresses themselves, how they feel, but she's also very honest and real as to what the cultural issues facing this generation. Another tiger from 100 years ago, and I call her a tiger respectfully, Ellen White. She was a good tiger too, a very good tiger. She had this to say: if we would humble ourselves before God and be kind and courteous and tender-hearted and pitiful, there would be 100 conversions to the truth, where now there is only one. Get that, church? As simple as being kind, courteous, tender-hearted, pitiful. Or as another Christian worker church convener said this in another way: our good works produce goodwill so that we can present the gospel news, the good news. Our good works produce goodwill so that we can present the good news. Ellen White also says it another way too: only by love is love awakened. If we are kind, courteous, tender-hearted, pitiful, that's when love is awakened. Surprise, surprise, church. Now, I think that's why our young people in this generation do have a challenge. Because as a Christian church, we haven't always been kind and tender-hearted and pitiful and gracious. Come to me with our last scripture. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. And this is Paul again speaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. And it says this: yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it, says Paul. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. Paul's saying this because he said, I was specifically called by God to be a missionary. I was specifically called, and most of you know the background story to that. He says, if I don't preach this good news, this story, woe is me. He said, I'm not fulfilling the call that God has placed on my life and my heart. So Paul says, I have got no other choice but to share this good news and this good story. Let me finish off with back to Jekyll again. In the book that Jekyll wrote, The Gospel Changes Everything, she says, I'm compelled through this because of my love for Jesus. And reminds me of the story of Jesus and his encounter with Peter. And what was the one qualifier for Peter to be a missionary? Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Not only said it once, but he said it three times. Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. take care of my sheep. And Jaquel says this in the introductory to her book. She says, as young people, we're ready for meat and reject the fluff to tackle the tough nuggets of truth. Why would we want to tackle the tough stuff? She said, because we love Jesus. Because we love Jesus. And she goes on to say this. These aren't our rebellious years. These are the years we rise up to obey the call of Christ. This isn't our time to slack off. It's our time to stand out. This isn't a season for self-satisfaction, young people. It's a season for God glorification. Our youth, and she's saying, she's speaking of her generation collectively, our youth is by God's grace, in God's hands, and for God's fame. He is the whole point of our lives. What a young lady. What a young lady. And young people, I challenge you with that. The hour is late. We want young people with purpose, who are driven for mission, who know Jesus as their personal Savior, who is Lord of their lives, who is Lord of your lives, to go and take this message. Harnessed and equipped by these senior people, go and do it with zeal and passion so that the world may know that Jesus truly lives. In closing, let me tell you a story, another story. Nero and I had the privilege of 2 years ago to go to Vanuatu on a cruise. And one of those Sabbaths there, we were on the island of in Luganville in the north. But why this was so special and meaningful is that these people are Nerali's relatives, well, sort of. See, Nerali's dad was born in Vanuatu, which was then New Hebrides, on the island of Iriki, which is in the harbour in Port Vila, for those who know Vanuatu. And Nerali's dad spent some years there, but Nerali's grandparents were missionaries on the island of Malekula, just in the north. And today, nearly every person on that island is a Seventh-day Adventist. But they were cannibals, and some of the worst cannibals. And you see here, just two or three generations later, Christians, and the difference the gospel can make in their lives. See, how it happened was that when they were missionaries on the island of Malekula, a little baby boy was brought to them one day, because this little baby's father had just murdered the little baby's boy's mother. And what was going to happen to this little child would have been a sure death, for sure. So this little boy grew up in the home of the Smith family. And his name was Pastor Sam Dick, eventually. He grew up as Sam Dick. And he was Nerali's dad's brother, if you like. And so we had the opportunity to go and visit with some of the family. And this is Pastor Jonathan Dick in the middle there and his wife. Pastor Jonathan is the son of Pastor Sam Dick. And they're two of his boys on either end. So it was a delight to meet them as family and to just know some of the backstory and the history and the difference and the sacrifice a missionary family made almost 100 years ago in the island of Malekula in Vanuatu. As I said, on the Sabbath we were in Luganville and we were able to go to church there. And this is actually one of the church plants, actually, in Luganville on the North Island. And it was amazing to be able to meet with these people and hear their story of coming out of cannibalism, tribalism, and the difference it's made in their life and their journey, and to just be able to fellowship with them on that Sabbath. And to think that only two or three generations away, they're away from cannibalism, and the difference the gospel has made in their lives, the impact it has had in their journey and their story. So, I don't believe the missionary spirit is dead. I think it's well and truly alive. It's more so how we do it, how it's done. Finding new methods, new ways to communicate the gospel, share the story of Jesus with our community, our family, and our friends and others. But I want to close with a quote from Jaquel again, because I can't say it better. And she says this: if Generation Z Christians, well, let me rephrase that. If all of us, let's include everyone in this quote this morning. If Christians really want to change the world, we need to live like Jesus, love like Jesus, and serve like Jesus. And if we want to make a difference for eternity, then we too must take action to prioritize the gospel as we pursue justice. God bless you.